KXRL presents Sound Off, the longest-running radio talk show in San Luis Obispo County. Sound Off on the North County's choice for local talk, KPRL. The views and opinions expressed on Sound Off do not necessarily reflect those of KPRL, its management, staff, or sponsors.
Sound Off on AM 1230, KPRL, and 99.3 FM is brought to you by Davis Body Shop, your auto collision specialist in Paso Robles and Atascadero.
This is Sound Off, where the North County comes to talk on The Right Choice, KPRL.
Happy May Day, comrades.
Happy May Day to you, too. The 1st of May.
Yep. I was patrolling the town to see if the students had run out of campus to fly their hammers and sickles. I got the article on, or a couple articles on the NEA and the AFT, National Educators Association,
American Federation. When you military people use
North Carolina's shut down its schools today. Chicago's busing kids to May Day rallies. So yeah, it's good. It's a good day. I only know of one. I've been monitoring websites. I feel like I'm back in the
Welcome back, Kenny.
I feel like I'm doing covert ops again. Got a lot of stuff. Big week.
Trump survived
his fourth assassination attempt.
I've heard there's actually been about 60.
Oh, that we just don't know about?
Correct, yes.
So, well, I count the, obviously, Butler, the golf course, the knucklehead that got shot at Mar-a-Lago, and then this guy. So, those are the ones I know about. Got
One from California in there, so.
The teacher. Of course, now Fox News is saying he was just an engineer, but he got Teacher of the Month. He was a contract teacher, but he was still a teacher.
And CalMatters, that does figure into it. Let's just go through some of the details that have come out about that.
Let's cover what we're going to cover first.
Okay, well.
And then we'll see what we're going to get to.
His sister works at CalMatters, or worked at CalMatters.
Oh, yeah. I did read that.
Okay. And back to you, Kenny.
Bond. Got to cover the bond discussion from Tuesday night, because that's going to cost, I can't remember if you calculated, it was $7,500 a person?
No, it was at $220 million, just the principal alone.
Yeah, I think
alone.
They're down. They're
at 183.
They're starting to live within their means. They're only going to ask for $189 million, I think it was.
Okay, well, we can recalculate that, but that was based on every registered voter in the Paso Robles School District, which is about 30,700. That would be $7,500 per registered voter to pass the $220 million. That would go onto the property taxes. And even if you're renting, come on, you guys, even if you're renting, you know that your rent price is determined based on how much it costs.
What do you mean, like the landlord's not going to eat the extra cost? I'm shocked. Capitalists.
Between insurance and taxes and a mortgage, most of the rental properties that my clients have, et cetera, unless they've owned it for 25, 30 years and have paid it off, a lot of it is cash out. They're paying on all of these. The insurance costs have gone up like almost about 30% per year. So it's very expensive to own property in California.
Yep. Got a really good article I'll cover when we talk bond measures, and it was timed perfectly by the Daily Signal. It came out on the 27th. What was that? That was Monday. And it's called "Corruption is Part of Why School District Democracy is Rigged and Wasteful." So I got some highlights
you know
from that article.
That is a trigger word for me. What is our
wasteful
flag?
Or what rigged?
Is the D word.
Oh, democracy.
That is not one time in the Constitution.
Sorry.
Where does republic?
I would have thought it was rigged or wasteful. That would have triggered you, but it is a democratic system of government, though. So, all right. Then last, we got to cover the Louisiana versus Calais. That's probably the best news in a long time. And then I got some updates on ballot measures, and we got some good ballot measures that look like they're going to cross the finish line and
be on the ballot
for November. Yeah. And then Shannon Kessler is going to call in after 1:30 and give us an update. She's the one that, you know, if if nobody else in the state of California is elected, in my opinion, she's the one that we all need to be rallying behind.
Sonia Shaw's really good on parental rights.
I'm trying to get her on. Rebecca Kuznick and Jennifer Greninger, really, they're like BFFs, but Sonia's not returning my call.
I'm really hoping that we'll hear from Cody Ferguson today. So
excellent. I do too. All right. Caller, go ahead. You're on the air.
Yeah, real quick. I have looked on the school website, and I've heard discussion about this proposed bond, but I haven't seen what it is that we're supposed to be getting for this $189 million. What are they proposing to do with that $189 million?
I haven't either.
Seriously?
And I'm a trustee.
That is the best question of the day.
So if you find out, please let me know.
Will do.
Yeah.
I'll be in touch.
This is kind of the bass ackeredness of the whole process, where we're asking for money and then we'll come up with ways of spending it by saying, this is what we want and this is the money we need to do to accomplish it.
Is that accurate? You got to be kidding me. That's what we're doing here?
Yeah.
That's where we're at these days.
We have not been. We, the board, I asked for Monday in my meeting with the superintendent, and I asked again Tuesday night at the board meeting. I would like to see the master facilities plan, which is supposed to be driving this, and we have not, as a board, been provided that yet. And that's really the primary reason why I'm not supporting
it. Yeah, now,
I think and maybe I'll put this out, because I would really like to know from the community and people like you, if there was a single item, like a building, you know, we want to build a CTE facility for, let's say, $50 million. Would you support that? I mean,
Well, let's put it this way. The only way I would support something is if it was for something specific. However, I don't know if I'm going to support any bond at this point, because as many people are aware, we're still paying for other bonds. And it's like one thing at a time.
Yeah, there's...
I think we're spending too much on facilities when we have test scores that aren't what they should be. And so our focus is on structures and infrastructure, which, albeit, are important, but we have some more issues here that need to be addressed first.
I agree 1,000%. And here's my concern with a trend that I think is occurring throughout the country, not just here in Paso or in California. But I would say California is probably the worst offender. When you look at a shrinking state budget, basically, you know, where people are leaving, expenditures are exceeding revenues. Gavin Newsom again announced sometime this week that they're probably going to, quote, borrow, end quote, about, I think it was $6 billion out of the Prop 98 funds, which are supposed to go to the schools. I think what they're trying to do, is start using bond measures to cover things that should be covered out of general fund. And so things like maintenance, you know, if you look at the H6 bond from 2006, if you look at Measure 16 from 2016, and you look at the proposed wording of this one, it all talks about maintenance and roofs, and we'll budget for that. I mean, you know, a roof has got about 25 years life on it, so you know that every 25 years you're going to have to start putting away in a fund. But they're starting to see bonds as the slush fund, so that they don't have to live within their means, and salaries are going up. Yes, salaries are going up. You've got some very high-paid
administrators
in this district. We just gave the teachers a pay raise. So I think they're kind of looking at the taxpayer to, you know, vote in the bond so they can sort of prop up some of the stuff that should have been done in Measure M or within the general fund. So that's my take on it.
Gotcha. Well, we'll see. I appreciate your efforts. And at this point, I'm certainly not in support of it.
All right. Well, let me know if you find out what we're spending it on. I'd like to know before I mask it.
It's supposed to be facilities.
I promise to get back to you.
All right. Thank you. Go ahead, caller. You're on the air.
Hi. Good afternoon. You know, about the only way I would vote for a bond and there's no way you could guarantee this, because you, no matter what kind of a bond it is, you can't track the money. So we all know that when we vote for this and it passes, you can't find out where the money has gone, and rarely do we see any results. But if I were to vote for a bond, it would be for absolutely nothing more than for that money to go into education itself. You know, beefing up the education, beefing up the classes, paying more to better teachers, if you will, or whatever has to happen to get our kids to learn. They don't need any other kind of program. We don't need another pool. We don't need another anything. What we need is better education so that our kids graduate with something to go out into the world for.
Yes, ma'am, I agree.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Let me play devil's advocate with you real quick.
No, the devil does not need any help.
Okay.
Okay.
So, well, angel's advocate. How about that?
Okay.
So you said that the bond, that you would support a bond that it gets you better teachers. Well, that's what any bond does, honestly. If they're gaming the system, and what I just said with the previous caller, if money's fungible, if we bring in a bond measure and that bond's authorized, because bonds can only be used for building facilities or maintaining them. So you can't pass a bond measure to, say, increase the salary of the teachers. You can't do that. But if you bring in that bond and relieve some of the fiscal pressure on the general fund, then you can raise those salaries.
I see. Okay, I get it. Well, and you know, the terminology that I used, which is better teachers, was not really right. You know, that was not a nice or a kind thing to say. I guess what I'm saying is that we have so many teachers who are suffering from fatigue. They're just worn out. We've beat them to death. Parents have beat them to death. The kids themselves have beat them to death. And I think that we just need to up our game somewhere along the way and focus exclusively on teaching those kids and educating those kids and get the other minutiae out of the way.
Oh, I agree wholeheartedly with that.
And I think it is a systemic problem, because I know someone whose daughter was in the Cuesta program for teaching and trying to go through the process of being credentials, totally excited about it. And what they were actually doing in the classes was things like learning how to do crafts and, for example, scrapbooking.
Yeah.
So when you have teachers that are being taught how to be teachers, and that's what's being taught, it's no wonder we are where we are.
Oh, I agree. I hear that all the time.
We know that there have been teachers in our lives that have been so influential, and that was back when there were great teachers, and a lot of those teachers that were really effective in, you know, even the kindergarten classrooms, you had a teacher who'd been teaching for 20 years. Those kindergartners were like in a straight line and loving school and had a great time. And the teacher ran the classroom.
You mean the teacher ran the classroom instead of the parents?
Exactly.
Right. I had a conversation with some folks on Saturday.
We want that
and
back.
They pulled their, I won't name schools, but they pulled their children out of one school and put them in another school. And it was primarily because there was no discipline in the public school where they were attending. And they had a teacher that would basically cry in front of the class and stress the kids out. These are like third graders. But the conversation I had with these parents were, the parents were just sick and tired of the lack of discipline in the school. And I think whoever you are, when you are in your formative years, whether it's as a child or going into an entry level position, you want that discipline and that regimentation so you understand what the expectations are, vice guessing every day.
We'll call it structure.
Yeah.
They know by studies that have gone on for 50 years that children do much better in structure.
Yes, ma'am.
They do more, they do better when they are disciplined, because structure and discipline is something they can count on. Everything else is just out there in the universe, and they don't know where they are, and they don't know what to do.
You should have been a drill instructor. You missed your calling.
You're
we got to let you go. We got another call, but thank you, ma'am. Go ahead, caller.
We just cut off the last one. What would you like to add?
Yeah, I think what's so funny about this is that the same people who will be supporting and asking for this bond to be passed are the same people that talk about affordability ad nauseum. And this will make things more expensive. And then they'll ask for, responsible spending. But the last bond that we had was anything but responsible. That was a disaster. And I think that if we continue to, living within somebody's means and cutting where you need to cut in order to make your operation work. I mean, I look at St. Rose, I look at some of these other schools that are, they don't go out and ask taxpayers the magic money tree to bail them out. They simply work within the means that they have to work within. And it's just so frustrating for me to watch this city and the people in this city yak about affordability and all these other side, these issues, but then they want to try to push through a bond that's going to cost $120 billion and be spread throughout the city. It's so inconsistent. It's breathtaking.
Well, you got a lot for me to unwrap there, but first I agree with everything you just said. And I think if you look at, say, a St. Rose or a Trinity or any of the other private schools, or even the charter school,
mm-hmm.
they aren't going to get bailed out. And I think the problem with public education is they can't go back bankrupt. they can't, there's always somebody there that's going to bail them out. They don't have to compete. And that's the reason why I've always supported school choice is I think that unless schools or public schools are forced to compete, they're never going to improve. You had mentioned Measure M, and one of the things I brought up at the board meeting on Tuesday night when, staff was celebrating what a great job, and I'm saying that sarcastically, but a great job they did with Measure M. I pointed out that since 2020, if you go on the website right now and you look at the Citizens Oversight Committee, and the previous caller, that lady had mentioned that there's no oversight. Well, there's supposed to be. There's a Citizens Oversight Committee, which hasn't met since January 2025 or end of 2024. The board is supposed, and the citizens are supposed to get a report at least every year, preferably every 6 months, based off of Ed Code. We haven't had an update since January 2025, and there's still money going out, which requires by law that the Citizens Oversight Committee be in session. It's not. When you look, if you go on to the Paso Robles Joint Unified School District webpage and you look under Business Services Measure M, the Citizens Oversight Committee, there's no agenda posted. There are no minutes posted for years. But we're supposed to trust that staff's doing what they're supposed to do. I had a lot of problems with Measure M, and I still do. But
therein lies the problem. Is that the same people, and I have to blame the taxpayers and the people who vote for these things.
Oh, absolutely. It's apathy.
They're so naive. Yeah, if they're so naive and disconnected from what's happening within their own city, for God's sake, then yakking about affordability and how we got to take care of the poor and we got to take care of this group and this group, I mean, we spend so much money without really thinking about the ramifications of how this affects average people, it's breathtaking.
All right. Well, we appreciate it. Thanks for calling. We have another caller. If you can call back after the break, we'd appreciate it.
Usually a reviewer, but I had an amazing experience at Davis Body Shop. From start to finish, the experience was ideal. Everyone was friendly, helpful, and professional. They kept me updated, did quality work, and had me in and out. No hassles, and returned my vehicle to me in perfect condition.
If you ever have an accident and need to repair your car, you could do what Ann did from Paso Robles. She took her car to Davis Body Shop. And Peggy from Atascadero said,
our family needed repairs to one of our cars, and friends had recommended Davis Body Shop. We were very pleased with their helpfulness, their attention to detail that was provided to us. They explained the process and kept us updated as repairs were made. They also assisted us in securing a rental car. I would definitely recommend them to anyone who needs repairs to a car.
Davis Body Shop is the area's largest auto body collision specialist on El Camino Real at Atascadero and on Theater Drive at Paso Chevrolet.
When it comes to selling your home in the North County, one agent can only do so much.
That's why we show up as a team.
I'm Seth Peek.
And I'm Karen Peek.
And we're the Peek team.
And equal partners in every sale.
Pricing, marketing, negotiations.
We both do it all.
Two professionals reviewing every detail.
Two voices advocating for you at every step.
We tag team the work.
So nothing gets missed.
One mission.
Sell your home with minimized headaches.
We're the Peek team.
At Peek Realty.
And we work together for you.
Thinking about selling your home in North County? Reach the Peek team at Peek Realty. Just Google Peek Realty, that's P-E-E-K Realty. The Peek team at Peek Realty live wonderfully on the Central Coast.
DRE number 0219-9910.
Brookside Christian Academy in Atascadero, formerly known as North County Christian, is having their first annual Spring Gala on May 8th at the Atascadero Lake Pavilion. Let's support this wonderful school that is providing our children with a Christian classical education and spiritual discipline, and the tools to master academic skills while pursuing the truth. The Brookside Academy Gala theme is Let Goodness Grow. Please buy your tickets or make a donation at brooksideacademy.com.
Okay, we're back. We were
conspiracy
talking
Conspiracy Theory Friday. Darsha and Kenny back here.
Every Friday is Conspiracy Theory Friday.
I didn't wear my shirt today.
Love to have you call in. Text and let us know what you think about bond measures and what you would support.
So
I actually got a text.
So I do have some background on the bond measures, and there was a call that came in right before the break. If you would please call back in. We just, even though we're seasoned professionals now, we don't have any way of holding over the call. The system will automatically drop it off. So please do not take it personally and give us a call back in. But on the bond measures, this actually is a bigger, when I say conspiracy theory, fine, call me whatever you want to call me. But, you know, I may sound crazy, but what if I'm right? So here's what's been happening with bond measures all across the state and the country. But it really started probably 15, maybe 20 years ago, where this became a way, it's literally a money grab. So when people talk about bonds, what's a bond? Think of a mortgage. A lot of people are more familiar with a mortgage. It's basically the school saying, okay, we're going to take out a mortgage. You go to a lender. Well, the lender is the people. And the people of that district or area have on their property taxes an assessment for this school bond. Then consultants get paid a lot of money to put out the bond and offer it for sale as a muni bond, as a municipal bond, so that it's tax-free for California and it's tax-free for federal government, the interest on that. Now, the interest rate is set by the market and who will buy these bonds. But what happens is a school district will come out and say, okay, we need to improve our facilities. This is only going to be used for facilities. But like you said, it frees up funds for other purposes.
Right.
And so when they put out this bond, people get paid immediately, the consultants, hundreds of thousands of dollars. Kenny says it's $100,000. I say it's more. We'll see. In this case.
Just to get it, you're talking about to get it on the ballot?
Yes, to get it on the ballot.
I got an update on that. Which...
And then to go out and sell the bond in the market, it's hundreds of thousands of dollars that the consultants get paid.
Let me, can I read a little bit of this from this corruption as part of why school district, here's the trigger
but
word.
Let me give one
why
more...
school district democracy is rigged and wasteful.
That's what I'm alluding to.
Okay, well, so let me read the first paragraph.
Okay.
And then you can... So it says, in 2019, Scottsdale Unified School District in Arizona spent over $20 million to tear down and completely rebuild a school named Pima Elementary. This year, it voted to close the school. Pima Elementary, designed for up to 840 students, reopened at less than 60% of that capacity and continued to decline. This fall, just 7 years later, the school building won't contain a single student. Far from one-off tale of district mismanagement, the closing of a brand new $20 million school building illustrates how easy special interest groups find it to manipulate school districts.
That's exactly right. So what happens is then you have a bond, the bond goes into effect, the taxpayers, the property taxpayers of that district are then have to pay back the bond plus interest. So when we're talking about when I looked up $220 million bond, even if it's $183 million, you will end up at least $300 to $400 million that will be owed and will be an obligation of the taxpayers.
But here's another thing. So let me continue.
By the way, I played softball, basketball, volleyball against Pima. We usually beat them.
Did you beat them?
Okay,
I expect nothing less.
At least the teams I was on.
All right, so this article goes on. It says, building district schools is a profitable activity, with some studies showing districts spending about one-third more per square foot than public charter schools. When you look here in Paso and you compare the cost per square foot for Almond Acres at their new site there Niblick. It's on Niblick.
Yeah.
So... if I remember correctly, when I got a tour, they said it was about $300-ish dollars per square foot, and they got that done in a year. When you looked at Bauer Spec, which was about 40 to 50% over budget, when all was said and done, that school, and it was 3 or 4 years behind schedule, I can't remember, but it was behind schedule, it was over budget. That was almost $1,000 a square foot, and they were being constructed in the same time. And a lot of this goes back to the fact that the public school system, by law, has to pay prevailing wages. And so that's going to automatically put a premium on the building cost. And again, you know, everybody seems to be fine with it.
Not everyone's fine with it, Kenny. So what happens with the school bonds,
the special interests,
it's over 20 years. So 20 years then becomes pushed out.
We'll have to check that over the break.
So then it's 30 years and then it becomes 40 years. And you're paying 3 and 4 and 5 times the principal amount. And then 10 years later, you have another school bond on top of it.
All right.
So we're heated about this. If you are too, call
in. Love to hear more. I will get to the text I got asking about what these folks are doing that we just hired at the school district. I'll give you my best answer. You can send me another text telling me I'm full of it.
And after the
break.
After the top of the hour, I also have some interesting things on taxes and the upcoming election. Ballots are out Monday.
All right. Back in a minute.
AM
AM 1230 KPRL, 99.3 FM, KPRL.com, Paso Robles, Atascadero, Templeton.
It's 1 o'clock.